This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to The Hindu's In Focus podcast with me, Amit Barua, your host for this episode. Wheat procurement in the country by the Food Corporation of India and state government agencies is expected to be about 22 million tons, just half of the 44 million target set for this season. News reports suggest that exports are causing wheat prices to rise beyond the rupees 20 per kilo minimum support price fixed by the central government. What are the challenges for wheat procurement and production? And will exports impinge in any way on the country's food security? To discuss these issues, I'm joined by agricultural expert and analyst Devinder Sharma. Welcome to In Focus, Devinder ji.
Thank you very much, sir.
Devinder ji, my first question to you. What are the implications for missing the central procurement target by almost half?
Well, that's a very important question. Why I say important? Because we all know that there was a target of 44.4 million tons of procurement to be made this particular season. But till Monday, roughly about 16.2 million tons has been procured. And with the peak of the marketing season already behind us, I guess we may be just barely touching 20 million tons, which means a drop of more than 50% as far as procurement is concerned. Now, having said that, I think it becomes very essential and important to understand that, yes, at a time when Russian invasion of Ukraine has caused turbulence globally, you know, and all eyes are on India. But I think India has a double task at hand because they have to not only cater to the international market, but they also have to ensure that they have enough domestic supplies left to take care of the huge requirement that we have every year. So I think this is a problem that I would call it problem because of the reduction in the procurement for whatever reasons. And I think why I said problem is simply because we have two tasks on hand. We have an exciting opportunity to export, and we also have a serious on the serious front, we have to have ensure that we have enough food left for us.
So, Devinderji, the Times of India newspaper is reporting, and their headline says that as wheat buy dips, government may use more rice in Ann Yojana. Is that an indication that the government is conscious of this problem?
Well, I think for the first time, I have seen this kind of an approach when we are ready with more of paddy, because we have a surplus of paddy with us, or rice effectively with us. And so the government thinks that it can fill up that gap with the rice requirement. But I guess, you know, for a population which is largely dependent on wheat as its staple food, you know, filling up their tummies with the rice may be a little undesirable, and I think we'll have to rethink on that part. At the same time, it also shows us and tells us very clearly that what problem can crop up later when we have hardly any stocks, surplus stocks left of wheat or adequate stocks left of wheat.
As you pointed out, India has, according to the FCI's website, about 33 million tons of rice and about 22 million tons of wheat in stock. And you do point out that, you know, there are certain parts of the country prefer to consume wheat and many parts want to consume rice. So in that sense, do you think that exports, you mentioned they were an opportunity, but could this become a problem in the weeks and months ahead?
Yes, I think that is where we have to keep our fingers crossed. And I think the government has another serious task at hand, because they have to ensure that we don't allow the private trade to export more than what is required to be kept for domestic requirements. So why I'm saying this is also important to know that this can push us back into a problem that we had encountered in 2005-2006. You know, at that time, because the government of India had allowed the private trade to buy directly from farmers, and the private trade had moved in, mopping up a large quantity of wheat directly from farmers. But when they settle down to find out how much is the requirement for wheat for the public distribution system, they didn't have enough, and the private sector won't come out or not even divulge how much stocks they are holding. As a result of which, India had to import, at that particular time, I remember, 2005-2006, we imported 5.5 million tons at a price which was double than what we had paid to farmers. That became a kind of a talking point. And I remember the BJP at that time had demanded a CBI inquiry into what it called as a scandal. Now, the point is, we are now in 2022, and I hope we don't repeat the same mistake, which means that you have to very safely keep adequate stocks of wheat to meet the requirements of the country. And let's not forget, we have still one more year, because wheat is one season crop in a year. And so you're going to have the next harvest coming in the next April. So you have to be ready with enough or adequate stocks, to meet any eventuality.
Devendraji, we saw, a large, very strong and very long farmers movement demanding MSP. And now we see in many of the North Indian states, the collection in the mandis is very low. Statistics are available for different states, Punjab, Haryana, Rajasthan, Uttar Pradesh. So does this in any sense dilute the need for an MSP? And does it suggest that market forces in the end are going to determine where farmers sell their produce?
Very interesting question, Amitji. And why I'm saying this is because at the time when the protests were happening held outside or at the borders of New Delhi, I remember a lot of economists and policymakers, lashing out at the MSP regime, saying that it is essentially because of the wheat paddy rotation and the MSP given to Punjab farmers and to farmers in Haryana, mostly in Haryana and Western UP, and some other parts, that we have a huge surplus as far as food stocks are concerned. At some time, we also had roughly 100 million tons of food with us, stocked. And so they were trying to say that our godowns are overflowing with surplus wheat and paddy. We don't need this wheat and paddy, so we must do away with the minimum support prices and so on. I wonder, where have all of them gone now? When we are finding the export opportunities now being talked about, I don't see that class of economists and policymakers or the other people standing up and saying that we don't need to produce more paddy and wheat. Now everyone is saying that we can feed the world, our farmers are capable of doing it, and so on and so forth. The point I'm trying to make it, what has happened to the national requirement, within a few months, everything seems to have changed, whether it's good or bad. The point I'm trying to make is that particular argument that we should not provide farmers with MSP, adequate MSP, is now taken a backstage, and people are saying, we need to export more. Now, to the other question that you asked, I think is very important, because whenever farmers are getting a higher price, it does not take away the right or the need to have a minimum support price. MSP is a minimum support price, the minimum that a farmer needs to get to cover up his cost of production and to have a little bit of a profit. Now, that MSP regime, it doesn't mean that, if the prices are high, the farmer should be made to, or sell his produce at MSP. No, that was never the objective. The reason why farmers are demanding minimum support price, and this is this may not be called as MSP globally, but farmers in the rest of the world are also demanding a minimum price. They call it income parity in America. Now, that is the kind of assurance that the farmers require. It doesn't mean that, MSP was not required or MSP should be dissolved. I feel that, yes, there is a need for MSP, and the market should be able to pay a higher price than that. Then, of course, there is no need to buy at MSP as far as the government is concerned. So it doesn't take away the right to have MSP. In fact, MSP is a must for as far as the farming population is concerned.
So would you say that, from the news reports, I see private players are paying maybe a rupee or 1 rupee 50 paise more than the MSP per kilo So would you say that that is being paid only because we have an MSP in place?
Exactly. Exactly. If you take away that MSP, you will see the prices crash and the private trade would be very happy to buy at lower prices. It happens in the case of a minimum support price for maize, for instance, just to illustrate. You know, in the case of maize, which is an alternate crop for paddy, or it's been promoted as an alternate crop for paddy, we have seen that the procurement price, let's say, one particular year, it was 1,850 rupees per quintal. And what the market was paying them was 900, even as low as 600 rupees per quintal. Now, imagine if we had that MSP, being at least given to farmers as an assurance, which means nothing to be purchased before the minimum, below the minimum support price. I'm sure the farmers would have been a very happy lot and would have diverted quite a large area from paddy to maize by now. So the point I'm trying to make is that yes, MSP is required, and then if the markets can pay a better price, 1 rupee 50 paisa is too low. But let's say what is happening today, some areas of the wheat belt, farmers are getting prices as high as 2,400 rupees or 2,500 rupees. But in Punjab, we have seen the prices are not very high. The premium is only about 10 to 15 rupees or maximum of 20 rupees on an average that we see that the farmers are being offered. I think that premium needs to be enhanced in the days to come.
Devinderji, before I was coming to speak to you, I did a quick Google search and, from if 1 kilo of wheat, the farmers getting 20 rupees, 5 kilos of atta, I don't know if you agree with me, is roughly selling for 250 rupees. If there's a gap of 30 rupees, Devinderji, so I just want to know from you, who is making that 30 rupees? Is it the private player who's buying and packaging and milling and selling it?
Well, this has been a problem all through. Not the first time that we are encountering, but at a time when there is a global rush, there is a scramble to get as much supply of wheat as possible. Of course, the trade is going to jack up the prices at this particular time. We have seen that even before the war began in the Russian-Ukrainian region, the prices, international prices, were already at a peak. The FAO's food index, for instance, in February, it had shown very clearly the prices of most of the agricultural commodities were much, much higher than what the world had witnessed in 2007-2008, when the world had the world food crisis. And don't forget, at that time, 37 countries had gone to food riots. Now, what I'm trying to say is that international trade has always taken advantage of this position, and the prices were zooming, as you rightly said. Now, even now, if the atta prices are going up, it is nothing to do with the prices that the farmer should be getting. These prices, even before the price rise that we see today, we will see that there is a gap. There's a gap, the kind of a gap that you mentioned, maybe around that is what I'm trying to say. And that was because the trade was pocketing much of the profit. Even now, when the international prices are touching 4,000 rupees roughly, and the farmers are being paid 2,400 to 2,500 rupees at the maximum in some parts of the country.
That is per quintal or 100 kilos.
Yeah, per quintal at 100 kilos. So the point I'm trying to make is that, there is a huge gap which the private trade is looking at. And it is something that you can see across the various commodities, A. B, it is very interesting that much of the problem is because of commodity trading that takes place. Let us not forget, even prior to the war, as I mentioned, the prices were zooming because of the stock markets or because of the commodity trading or futures, commodity futures. This is something we must understand. We haven't, pointed a finger to why the prices are going out of, reckoning. Is also, if we can make an effort to understand, when the 2007-2008 global crisis happened, as far as food was concerned, remember, the UN Human Rights Council being presented with a study or report from the special rapporteur on food security. And he said that 75% of the problem is because of futures market, commodity futures. This is what happened in 2007-2008. Today also we see, for no apparent reason, of course, lockdown was pushed as one reason for it. But for no apparent reason, the prices of every commodity is zooming beyond control. And FAO has itself said after the war began that the prices will rise about 22% more, thereby pushing many more, or let's say many millions of people additionally, pushing them below the hunger line.
Right. The other subject which I now want to turn to is the wheat production target itself, which is, I think, been fixed at 111 million tons. We've seen some very extreme weather, especially in North India. We've seen high temperatures. We've seen what perhaps is, something which we will have to live with. So how realistic do you think is this target now of 111 million tons, the production target I'm talking about now?
Well, first of all, let's be very clear that the target 100 million tons, of course, was fixed at a time when we had a very good crop last year. If you look at the past 5 years, at least we have had a record production year after year. So in that process, it was perfectly a good target. But after, the sudden rise in temperature, and the shriveling of grains that took place, I think that we need to revise this target. Revise this target for a few reasons. After all, everyone is going on otherwise quoting that particular figure. But the fact of the matter is, as crop cutting experiments in Punjab and Haryana have shown, that the yields have fallen by 500 kilos per acre. This is in Punjab. And when you said how realistic these targets are, just to give you an idea, in Punjab, the target of procurement was about 13.5 million tons this year. And this was, of course, everyone thought, yes, we're going to achieve it. But after the yield loss that the crop has suffered, it is now expected that if Punjab is able to touch, let's say, 10 million tons of procurement, it will be quite a happy situation. Why I'm saying happy? Because after all, the surplus comes from Punjab and Haryana to quite an extent. Now, in Haryana, the shortfall is about 42%. In Punjab, it is a little more than 20% or so. We still do not know the final figures because there is overlapping of data because one, there is a drop, as I said, in production. And the other one is that the private trade has moved in a big way to garner as much quantity as possible. So as a result of which, there is a shift that we see from procurement to the private trade. Now, in Punjab, till recently, it was expected that about 6 lakh tons is what companies have been able to purchase against roughly about 1 lakh ton that they would normally end up doing in a wheat season. So it tells you that there is a jump here as far as the purchase by private trade is concerned, and at the same time, there is a drop in yield. So I think these targets need to be revised given both these factors so as to get a clear picture as to what kind of a crop loss we have suffered.
Okay, before I let you go, I just want to return yet again to this issue of exports. According to a report in the Business Standard newspaper, India is expected to export about 3.5 billion tons of wheat in April-July quarter. In the previous year, that is 2021-22, India exported nearly 8 million tons of wheat. So how do you think as you rightly pointed out, sometimes in private trade procurement is that you don't know exactly how much stock is available. So when do you think, this point will be crossed when India will have to look at its own stocks, its own food security, and sort of posit it with exports that are happening now?
Last year, as you rightly mentioned, we exported almost equal to 8 million tons. To be specific, it was 7.85 million tons of wheat that India exported. How significant that was or what it means is to get an idea, a year prior to that, we had exported close to 2 million tons. So from 2 million tons, it jumped to 7.85 million tons the next year. And this particular year, the industry is even ready to export as much as 21 million tons. ITC had made a statement sometime back saying that we might end up exporting 21 million tons. I saw a statement by Mr. Piyush Goyal, the Commerce Minister, saying that India should be able to export between 12 to 15 million tons. And in my own analysis, I think what India should be exporting should not be more than 12 million tons in any case, because we have to be ready with adequate stocks, as I said earlier. And this is more important given that the climate change that we have seen, the impact that it had in the month of March on the wheat crop. I think let's not be so sure that the entire season, we still have one more year, as I said, before the next harvest begins. I think we should be very, very watchful that any small disruption can be causing a drop in yields, further drop in yields, which means that we will have a serious problem on hand. And we can't be, I'm sure you will agree with me, we can't be standing with the begging bowl next year, along with many other countries globally who are scouting for food. I think India has to be food secure, and which means, yes, please give adequate space for exports, which means 10 to 12 tons should be the maximum that we need to export.
Devinder Sharma, agricultural analyst and food expert, thank you very much for talking to the Hindus In Focus podcast.
Thank you very much, sir. It was a pleasure talking to you.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.